With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What up, what up? Ty Roxon here, back again with another episode. And it's another opportunity, obviously, to be great. Today's episode is with a Nigerian sister. So we obviously are both from Nigeria. We share that heritage, and it's always fun catching up with Nigerians in diaspora. We have a lot to connect on. And we talked about a whole range of things from, you know, how she launched her company, how she learned Kickstarter, how she found a business partner in the subway, how to find the right type of talent, and how to change the way you shop, which is essentially what a product does. How to change the way you shop and become better with that kind of information. So you're in for a treat. Now, I have to apologize for the background noise. Apparently, there was a lot of frequency disturbance, so sometimes you kept hearing this annoying noise in the background. I do apologize ahead of time. I couldn't fix it in post, and I just had to roll with it. But hopefully, you're able to push through that and listen to the episode, which is really fun. Love a story. And if you're an entrepreneur thinking of starting out, thinking of building a team, thinking of understanding how to turn your product into something that people buy into, definitely check out the episode.
In a world where very few people embrace their global identity and seek to understand their neighbors, cross-cultural expert Tayo Roxon is on a mission to bridge this divide. Each week, he'll open your mind with insights from some of the global minds in the world. Get ready, take some notes, and learn how to be the best you that you can be.
Welcome everybody to another episode of As Told by Nomads, and today's episode is with the co-founder of Cosign, Asosa Igodaro. Now, she is someone who is an amazing entrepreneur who's built a platform that she feels could revolutionize shopping, and we're going to be talking about all that. But before we get into any of this, I have to give you a warm welcome, because this is a very rare occurrence in the podcast. We've had people that are CEOs and founders, but we've never quite had a queen. And so, as this is the first time we have a queen, welcome to the show, the Queen of Brooklyn, Asosa. How you doing?
I am good. You are hilarious. I can't.
Well, paint the picture for us. How did you become, you know, how did you take a mantle on the throne, and what was young Asosa like, and how did you get to where you got to?
Out of it all that, but I started Cosign when I found out a few years ago. It was like around that time where everybody was saying, oh, there's an app for that, and apps were getting really popular in popular culture, like in the 2010. And I started thinking, hey, I would love to be in technology in some way. I started out in banking, so I was working for Citigroup for about 6-7 years, when I was like, okay, I want to try something different. And technology was like the sexiest industry at that time. And so I actually started out with game apps originally. And I had two game apps I produced and put in the app store. Then I decided that I wanted to do something that's near and dear to my heart, which is shopping. So I went ahead and I realized a trend that was happening. Like, people were really discovering products and new things through social media, but it was no easy way to go and click to buy or purchase. So we realized that maybe there is some ways of us to support that change of, like, being able to see something and buy something in the wild, right? Like being able to like, oh, I wonder what those red shoes are, or anything at all. And so randomly, my co-founder, I met him going uptown on the atrium. He tapped me and gave me a compliment on my shoes. I can't even remember. And literally, we just started chatting, and I realized it was the technology, and I was at banking at the time. We have this idea over the next 6 months. We decided to just go ahead and start it. So go ahead, ladies and gentlemen, go ahead and start businesses with strangers. It's great. It gets you places. It's been an interesting journey. It's nonetheless like just trying to, you know, figure out a problem that people actually care about. And I definitely have so many life lessons in just trying to solve that piece. And so it ended up working out okay, you know, like finding that partner who has an alignment in terms of goal. But the great thing was that he was on the tech side, so he built all the tech in the product side, and I was on the business side, and I had extensive marketing execution experience, which I did my last role in Citigroup. So I said, oh, I can do this. We can do this together. And so a few years later, now we have a fully integrated tech platform that allows anyone to recommend products through content they share on social media and blog sites, primarily photos. And then once their audience see the photo, they can literally click to buy any of those items. And when they do get the item they're looking for, we get a commission from the retailer, and we share that with the content creator. So the influencer, the publisher, the blogger, whoever who's producing the content. So we really believed in early in the back in the day in this model of anyone can earn money for the recommendation. Everyone's doing that naturally anyway. You know, you're constantly talking about products or things you've discovered to your friends or family members. And so that's how people, you know, take on recommendations. And we believe that you should get paid for that because you were a part of the marketing value add for that brand. And so that's kind of our belief. And that's kind of the starting story of CoSign.
No, that's pretty cool. I love that. And just for anyone listening, and I love the concept of this, CoSign is a social-based business that allows people to easily tag and find product information within a picture. Now, you make a post, you make it shoppable, and then you allow, and this allows the tagger to earn commission if a sale is made from the post. So you said a few things there. Doing business with a stranger, someone tapped into your... you say, hey, I like those shoes. And then you figured out that there was some synergy, like, you know, the stuff you needed and the stuff you do, he needs. And I guess it's always interesting wondering what it's like to, you know, to really work with someone else on an idea you have. Sometimes people have success with it. Sometimes people break up because of it. They break up the companies because there's so much tension or just there's no... I guess no path for reconciliation. So how do you work together to make sure that you all have the benefit of the company at the forefront?
Oh, this is an easy one. You just go ahead and you threaten his friends and family. And then, okay. Then anything you want happens. you just tell him, have you seen Taken 1, 2, or 3?
Oh, so you have, then, you have a particular set of skills. That's, oh gosh.
You know?
Yeah,
yeah. Totally kidding. I think, you know, it's interesting. I get this question a lot because, you know, when you work with a co-founder, a lot of what you're typically told out there is like, you know, you should know them for a long time. You should know how they work and the better to work together. I think I really also lucked out, feel really blessed about, you know, never knowing this person before. Like, we didn't even have LinkedIn friends. Like, not like total stranger.
That's, like, that's so crazy to me.
Yeah. Total stranger. So, I mean, I think my case was very unique. But I do think one of the things that make a lasting, fruitful relationship is that you have to have very specific lanes in which you work for your business. I think really helped a lot that he trusted me to operate and own the face of the brand, right? Like, so that means communication, marketing, development of investor relationships, or anything that is like facing or business development or pricing sensitive, I focused on. And then I let him, you know, go ahead and do what his strength and skill set, which is technology and product development, and just focus on those things. So we didn't have to fight a ton of times on direction of things because we let each other have autonomy on our lanes of what the impacts of what that means to the business. And of course, we stay accountable to each other and say, hey, you know, maybe not a good idea what we did just now, but we can learn from it and we move forward. I just try my best not to, you know, harbor too much on the terrible side and just like, okay, let's learn for it and move forward because there's just so much to do as business owners. So I find a lot of people tend to break up because they either have very, very stark differences of opinion of where the goals of the business are. And if that's a total difference, that's a game changer for you. I think that you can't move forward if you guys have different direction where you want to take the business. And then if you guys have similar roles, it's very friction, right? Because you want to control, you want to own something when building it, not have missteps. So that's a big part of I think what has kind of kept this kind of relationship beneficial as co-founders.
Yeah,
and fruitful moving forward.
No, I love it. It's keeping the big picture in mind. So we know about the story of how you both founded the company. You raised the money through Kickstarter. Is that correct? Initially?
Yeah, initially. So actually, if we go all the way back, we originally asked friends and family for money and said, hey, we want to go ahead and do this idea. Everybody said no. Like, they were like, okay, this is great, you know, but I don't have money for you. So they got money for them, but they ain't got money. So I realized, it was such a culture shock for me and a shift for me because I came from banking thinking, I know tons of people with money. Like, this would be a breeze, you know? Mm-hmm. This is just like such a big opportunity. It's a, like billions of dollars of an industry. You know, we can, you know, take over pretty quickly if we, you know, get this technology up and running, you know? So, and it was interesting to me that, you know, people just didn't either, you know, people were either having very big life changes. So, oh, I just got married. Oh, we're moving to a house. Oh, I'm about to have a baby. And I was like, oh, okay. I can understand you look like needing money right now, right? And, like, don't know what to expect in those life-changing scenarios. And then also some other people literally just didn't have it. Like, I am living paycheck to paycheck. I may be making a big salary, but they haven't managed in a way. They're also spending a lot. So that's what shocked me too when I met with people. So starting out, we started out with our own money. And then my sister and a cousin of mine gave me $5,000 and literally $5,000, and my cousin gave me like $15,000, and I was just so hyped from that alone. We started kind of building the technology for iOS, and you know, this is an interesting technology because you have to build on top of another person's tech. And the complications of that, in a sense, is that you have to figure out what truly is the value. And then, like, making sure you have a strong relationship with them because they can kick you off at any time, right? So there's a lot of risk there, one. And then two, if you don't have a strong relationship, they can close out what they can close out like your ability to kind of build other things, right, on the same platform. And in any 2 seconds, if they decide they want to change this or close off that, that affects you. So it was a lot of, you know, building on top of other people's technology of what you don't, building on another man's land, as some Africans would like to say. You would have to figure out those contentious friction points and figure out how to smooth it over. Yeah. And then past that, we decided to like go to Kickstarter because we ran out of money past the 20K initial, and said, hey, you know, we would need another 40K to finish out this build out for a beta. And we're like, okay, let's go to Kickstarter. You know, at the time, I would consider myself an early mover in general. So most of my friends or family members wouldn't know what Kickstarter was. So at that, and that time too, it was like Kickstarter's been around at least already 5 years. And so a lot of people didn't really understand what it was in my communities or a lot of communities of color at that time. Because this was like 2014. And so what I found myself having to do was educate people on what Kickstarter was, then say, oh yeah, guess what? This is what I'm doing right now. Because, you know, see me from banking. And then third, oh yeah, please give me money. I'm going to lose it all. And it was like quite a process of doing that. But we were really successful, surprisingly, because mostly on Kickstarter, physical products do better on Kickstarter than actually anything else. And so the fact that we were a free app and people actually gave us money to complete this completion of this app was like, wow, this is huge. Like, we would love that. That was like an inflection point for us, that we were able to raise $41,571 in 30 days.
Congrats! It's so interesting hearing your story, because you're right. You know, raising money isn't a cakewalk. But then to go from that to actually having a successful Kickstarter, you had to have done some studying to figure out how to be successful in the platform, because it wasn't a physical product. So do you have any best practices for anyone thinking of launching the Kickstarter right now?
Oh, for sure. I get calls all the time. But I would say Kickstarter is a gift that keeps on giving, because it's, if at any point, even if you went, like, get the goal or not, it was a mass marketing campaign about what you're doing. So now, not only that people know what you're doing, they're invested in figuring out other ways to help you. So I've gotten press through Kickstarter. I've gotten additional money. I actually raised an additional 100K after Kickstarter because of the level of attention and attraction it gave us. And so, I mean, you just saw it. Like, it was really like one of the best things we could have done early on. I wish I even did it earlier, because that means we would have even got even better, you know? But yeah, I studied that platform. You know, Naija no go carry lasso. So we got to study like crazy to make sure that, you know, we were successful. So I really like to win. So a big part of me making sure I had all the elements for a winning campaign. So I had 60% of all videos on Kickstarter are more likely to get completed. Like, so having an actual video is important to meeting your goal. So you must have a video. Second, you must have a ticket item as a prize at $25, because $25.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right?
For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Is the most it's the most sought after gift. So most people are more likely to give you $25 if they don't know you, right?
Yeah.
So you've got to have a gift at that time, that price point. It can be nominal, but you have to have something at 25. I've seen a lot of Kickstarters with just like 50 or 150. I was like, too high. You got to get down for many to reach you. The other piece is you have to have, before you actually launch your campaign, you have to have so much done, right? You have to tell all your people at least 2 months before that you're launching your campaign, and ask them different ways to participate, whether that's sharing it once they see it. You also need to have a list of your 30% of your fundraising goal completed with a list of who's going to do it and the amount they're going to give, so that you can trick the algorithm of Kickstarter and say, hey, wow, this is a campaign that a lot of people are excited about because so many people did it as soon as you launched it, right? And if you have that kind of momentum, you get more people eyes on your page. So you want to make sure beforehand you call and you speak to people and say, hey, you know, I'm doing this thing. Would you be able to support me? And what amount would you be able to support? $100, $200. So if your campaign, let's say you're raising $6,000, then you have to at least have $2,000 earmarked and are ready to like have those folks ready to do it on the day one. And even better if you can get them to do it within the first hour. So really easy, quick tips that I think are super easy just to do, but most people forget. As I got to have tons of photos on there because they want to know that you really complete the project, fun stuff like that. But yeah, it was a great learning lesson for us. It also was a great community of people who are supporting what you're doing from the jump, right? So they're going to promote you. They're going to talk about you. They were probably one of the biggest reasons why when we launched our beta for the app, we were looking for 100 people to test with us. And we ended up getting over 5,000. And it was amazing of another inflection point for us to continue this idea.
Wow, no, that's really, really helpful. I'm glad that you said that because I know a lot of people that do try to do Kickstarters, but as I look back right now, the unsuccessful ones, they didn't have a lot of the prep time. You said 3 months ahead of time. So, you know, I think a lot of times it was like, I'm going to do Kickstarter. I'm going to spend a weekend putting something together and then let's go. And so it becomes, I guess, not as prepared. And I guess it doesn't set you up for success, which makes sense.
Okay. Sure.
So, you know, I ask questions for a living and I did some, some sleuthing and I saw that it wasn't just the fact that you know, raising money wasn't a cakewalk that you were surprised by. You also found out that finding the right talent is very hard. Why?
Oh my gosh. The right talent is probably more so the more difficult things you'll find in building a company, especially as a founder, because when you're a founder, you're so close to it and be just as passionate as you are. And sometimes they're just not, right? And it's like hard to kind of get that switch. So I made my first potential hire was the wrong fit completely for us, but he had the skill set and everything. And we almost ended up hiring him, but we like dodged a bullet. Right after we gave him the contract, we decided not to go the same route because we realized that because the culture fit wasn't there, he's not going to stay up all night focused. He's not going to go above and beyond. And when you're doing such a small company and you're around each other all the time, you have to like that person because it's so much happening and so much on the line that you sacrifice to get to that point to actually give them a job.
Yeah.
And if they don't realize the sacrifice or taking it as seriously as you, it really deters progress in the long run, right? So you're not going to get any further. You've wasted a few months finding this person, hiring them. Now you have to fire them, and now you got to spend another few months, getting a new replacement. So you lose a year on every bad hire. And so it's so important for the longevity of your business, because time is money. So if you lost all that time on building that product, and then all that energy was focused elsewhere, your productivity is just out of the window. So you really want to focus on getting people who are right culture fit for you, meaning with pace, with overall kind of I want to say aura, but that's not the right word. But essentially, pleasantries. Like if they, if they are fast paced and they tend to always be happy, and that's your beat, you want them to kind of keep in that same rhythm. If they're not, it really makes it hard for you to move forward, quite honestly. But and plus, it's one of the most expensive things on your cash flow is wages. So every 2 weeks, I know they're happy when they get paychecks, but I'm struggling,
Yeah, like, nah, I wish I didn't have to pay you, because yeah. No, but this is good. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I love the fact that you highlighted this. It all comes down to the big picture. As a founder, as a co-founder, you and Abiodun, your co-founder, you set the rules. You determine what the company will stand for and what the values will be. And so if you're not firm in those things, you can sort of lose sight and have a shaky foundation, and that's where the things will crumble. And if you don't have a clearly defined culture fit, and you're just sort of hiring for their, ability alone without the culture fit in mind, then you run into those problems like Uber has run into in the last couple of years, or all these other big companies, because those things weren't really given a premium. So, yeah, that's what I'm hearing. So this is also a podcast about, cross-cultural communication and things like that. And you and I share the Nigerian heritage. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on some of these things. What is being an entrepreneur been like for you as a woman of color, as a Nigerian? What has that intersection been like for you, and how do you balance all that, especially having Nigerian parents?
It's so interesting because I feel my identity as an African woman, as a Nigerian woman, is so different from my identity as just a Black woman in America, right? Like, I do think it's definitely aided in the success of where I am today in terms of being able to push as much as I can with the Cosign business. It's definitely aided in my overall foundation as a good citizen. But I think when I first started out, I don't think anybody was particularly happy, like, in my family. They're like, what? So your good paying job, most people in America, your job can pay three people with your salary. And you're gonna leave that job to do something that no one knows if it's going to be a success or not. They were not on board.
Yeah.
I think it took some time to go by before my African parents had, worked very hard for me to get to this country and to be more successful than them to be on board. I do say one of the tippers for me, that my father was kind of always on board because he kind of helped aided in my push to want to do this. He told me, he's like, hey, I see you're really successful in this banking gig thing, every 2 seconds you're getting promoted and they're giving you, a salary increase, you know, but I want you to do something for me. I want you to calculate what you make a year and what you make them a year, right? And then tell me what that percentage is. So when I did that and I found out that I was not even really a rounding error, he was like, you might be able to do better on your own and make 4, 5, 10 times your salary if you figure out a big enough idea to go after. And so that stuck with me. And like literally the next year, I decided to like really figure out what business idea I would take on. So I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I wasn't sure what type of business I would get into just yet. And but that was definitely a push for me.
Yeah, I so relate with the parents not understanding what you're doing and telling you like what that is not what I sent you to America for. Well, and, what are you doing? What would our family friends say? Huh? Look at it.
Did you not see Choma? Choma is now a doctor. She's married. She has 4 kids. You're here. Yes. What is your
new? Oh, but
so really?
Yo, it's such a thing that I really wanted to ask that question because a lot of the people listen to this day. You know, I started this podcast because I, you know, as someone who sort of found himself in different cultures, one of the things I started to notice is that many of our generation, there's a sense of agency that we want to have. We don't necessarily, all of us don't want to just be doctors, engineers, lawyers, but there is that interesting chasm that exists between wanting to make sure your parents are happy because you value the sacrifice, but you also want to be able to do what you want to do. And being comfortable owning that identity can be difficult for some people. And for others, it might not be. So, you know, the people, I get emails all the time about, I want to do this, but my parents said I shouldn't do this. And it's I'm hoping that gradually we get to the place where we can encourage more people to say, hey, well, this is a decision that I feel like is something I'm going to take for the rest of my life. And it will help, Mom, trust me. So,
trust me, I will be successful. It's going to take a few years.
Yeah.
But I will be successful in this and it'll be in a better place. I promise.
Yeah. We're getting ready to wrap up here soon. But if I say these three names, what comes to mind? Oprah Winfrey, Mahatma Gandhi, Michelle Obama.
Legendary people.
Talk on it. I know they mean a lot to you. So that's why I brought them. Why are they people that you, I guess, get inspired by?
You know, I think because these folks really do kind of, like, they just represent what is purely an aspirational goal for any human. Like, I just feel like they really, you know, they're at the top of what I would say their particular lanes are. Right, whether it's broadcast, whether it's, you know, being, you know, first lady or a lead girl when Michelle Obama was owning her own practice as a lawyer. I just think Mahatma Gandhi is like a whole nother level of scale. But I think the overall thought is that they were always really clear. Like, I think also what comes to me is the clairvoyance in what they want to do at whatever certain moment, and then they go hard in that, right? And they're just so true to themselves in that. And sometimes it's really hard to look inward, right?
Yeah.
For me especially, because I'm always, they call me busybody, because I'm like always doing something. So I don't have a chance to really truly sit down and reflect. And they are constantly reflecting, you know, and using that reflecting moment to change the course of their lives, really, in terms of making each and every decision and really being present in all the different daily activities and what they're doing.
Yeah. In that vein, I always save this question for the last question because my mission statement is use your difference to make a difference. And it is what I built my business on. It's what I say every week whenever I create content. And so I always ask my guests the same question, you know, how do you use a difference to make a difference? So, Asosa, How do you use your difference to make a difference?
So I think my current identity right now has been around this whole idea of being a Black woman in tech and of being a female leader in technology has been one of the biggest, I think, shifts I've been able to give back in. So as someone who's still building their business, because I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. And I believe in the statement of lifting as you climb. And so I created something with two other founders called Black Women Talk Tech. And that organization is to identify, support, and give resources to the next billion-dollar tech founder to be a Black woman. And that's come from the struggles I had to undergo. Just being a Black woman in this type of business. Because, you know, the more times you think about a tech leader, you're more likely to name a white man who's a tech leader. But you rarely ever think of a woman, and then it's definitely not a Black woman, right? And so I'm trying to help change the shift in identity of what that is and what that could be. So the next woman or young Black girl can wake up and say, I'm going to be the next, you know, billionaire technology like leader, right? And really kill it and be able to have the support systems in place to do so, you know, because I know it's still very challenging even at this point. But we're seeing some glimpse of positivity with, you know, Arlen building a fund at $36 billion, just announced 2 weeks ago with Dennis from Sundial Brands building a fund of $100 million for Black women. There's definitely positive change in the arena of finally getting funding, but you know, that has been a challenge and still continues to be a challenge today. And so I'm hoping through that organization to be able to make a difference for Black women tech founders just like me.
Love it, love it. And where can we find out more information about you and your company and what you're doing?
Go to cosign.com. And either you can download the app, you can sign up for the listserv. You can also find out more about Black Women Talk Tech at blackwomentalktech.com.
blackwomentalktech.com and cosign.co. Make sure to put that all in the show notes. But wow, this has been a really great conversation. It's always good to talk to a Nigerian sister, but even more honored and humbled that I actually got to spend time with royalty today. So thank you. It's not every day.
I appreciate the time, and I do apologize that it took too long, but I definitely look forward to hearing it, and I'll promote it in all my channels, all of them.
All right, I appreciate that. But ladies and gentlemen, till next time, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.